values, and if we can pop those up, not the notes, but the other thing with the that bit, we'll just have a quick look at that. And I want to talk about one of the values that is very strong, not only in the Bible, but in our church. Here's our little vision. It's only a small one, just 50,000 people. But let's have a look at this here quickly. It's a town, Staines upon Thames, and the surrounding community that are experiencing awakening to God, to His love, His power, and His presence. That's a good vision, isn't it? Can you see that? Is there anyone here at all that feels like that might be a good vision to have? Come on, guys. Or are we all asleep here? Are you with me? Cool. That's a vision. A community experientially transformed by love, salvation, healing, care, service, and the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit. I'll just wait till you all cheer. We're getting there. Yeah, a little more. I'm still waiting. I'm not moving forward until we get excited here. Better, slightly better. Here we go. Here's the third one. A church that is authentic, growing, caring, full of life, leads people to maturity in Jesus, that releases them into their destinies and activates them to bring the gospel with power in their daily lives. It's good. Cool. And then we've got some of our values here. Core values. And these are like seven things that kind of run through the heart of our church. Positive life and faith. Honor. Cultural relevance. Excellence. Generosity. True spirituality. Whole and full lives. And that's kind of a heartbeat. That's like the central nervous system of how we operate. But I want to touch on this top one here. Positive life and faith. And we're going to teach about that area. And I haven't taught so much like that, but if we flip over to the other notes now, and I'm going to ask a couple of people, maybe Lucille, Grace and Ian, could you help me by handing out, I took quite some time yesterday, this is a four-page kind of little set of notes called An Introduction to Faith, and there's a copy for everybody. And so if you could just take that, leave one for me, that's it. And when you've got it, just hold it in your hot little hand and wave it at me so that I know everyone's got one. Just wave it in your hot little hand there, Glenn. Just wave it. Yeah, wave it so I know everyone's got one. Just wave. Wave, wave, wave. A few wavers. A few. Morning. Good to see you guys. Lord, yes. Lovely to see you. Everyone's got one, yeah? Cool. Okay, so what we're going to do. Thanks, man. What we're going to do is I'm going to get you to read through the whole thing before we say any more or do any more. That could take 3 minutes, 4 minutes, 5 minutes. But there's quite a lot of stuff in there, and it'll give you a really good introduction to the spirit of faith. And then we'll talk a little bit about that. And you may have questions that come out of that. I may speak or teach an answer to that question, or we might talk about it later. But let's take the next 5 minutes or so to read through the introduction to faith. Thanks. All righty. Good. Okay, we're all comfortable? Yep. Let's lift our hands to God, pray. You can make reference to the notes. You can scribble on the notes. That's all good. So, Father, right now we thank you for your presence and your anointing to preach and to teach your word, and that your people would be blessed and encouraged, strengthened in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. So I want to talk to you about this spirit of faith, and we've got a couple of slides here. And this is a really interesting one. Let's have a look at this Jesus before we'll touch on some of these notes in a moment, but they asked him, the people asked him, what do we do the works that God requires in John 6:29? What do we do? What are the works that God requires of us? And I wonder if I asked you that question, how you might answer that. What do we do to do what God requires of us? Would that be to be kind? You know, some people will quote a reference in the Old Testament that says about walking humbly with your God and those kinds of things, and they're good. But I want to suggest that Jesus' answer will really attract our attention and may not be what a lot of people expect. What must we do to do the works that God requires? Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. That's the first and foremost thing. And the word believe is a verb. The word faith is a noun. But they're talking about the same thing. If you are in a place of believing, if your heart believes or trusts or is convinced about something, you have absolute assurance, then you have faith. Believing and faith are the same thing, but we're talking about it from a slightly different, like a verb instead of a noun. And what Jesus said is the first work of God really is this, to believe in the one who he has sent. And so this spirit of faith, this believing thing, is really important in the very foundation. And I want to suggest that we've got to, and it's part of our culture anyway, but we've got to be very careful in our Christian world right now that we don't put doing good Christian acts ahead of believing. Because there are plenty of people with who like Christian values, and I do too, like honesty, caring for people, compassion, serving, helping. They're all good values, but they don't come before believing. And you can actually do a lot of those good things and not be a Christian at all. Amen. And not be born again at all. And really, you would be better in terms of your relationship with God now to believe God and to do half as many things than to not believe God and do lots of things, if I can put it in that kind of unusual context. What I'm saying to you is that faith needs to come before anything else, believing God, trusting God. And here's another one. In John, it's the same guy John writing, and you ever wondered why the Bible was written? John tells you here, these are written, this book, this is written, so that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. I think there's a little cut there that shouldn't be there, but that's all right, that might have been me. The Son of God, and that by believing you might have life in his name. All this stuff was written. If you've got your Bible, hold it up. You've got your little electronic. This is all written. The stories about Jesus were written not to teach you how to be a good Christian person, first and foremost. These kind of ideologies we have. Not to how to behave well. Not how to obey the Ten Commandments. They were written so that you would believe that Jesus is the Son of God. That's the first stop. And then right after it, and that by believing, you will have life. Everyone say life. Life. I feel like I've got some life in me. Because I've got, now that word, the Greek word is Zoe. If you want to, I've got a niece called Zoe or Zoe. And she's certainly full of life, let me tell you. She's got like a dose and a half probably. But the word, the Greek word means the life of God. Life is a force. It's the same thing that Jesus is talking about in John 10:10 when he says, I have come that you might have life in abundance. Just an overabundance, overload of life. I've got so much life flowing in me. And out of that life flows healing. And out of that life flows joy. And out of that life flows peace, because it's a spirit. This life, like a river that runs in you. And so if, and this happens to believers a lot, if we find, oh, we don't feel like we have enough joy, or we don't feel like we have enough peace, it's primarily not about learning a technique about how to have more peace. It's getting connected with the life. There's a flow of life that comes from heaven. God works that way. He works in flows. He works in an anointing. Jesus, when he preached, people wonder, well, how did he do? I'll tell you exactly how he did what he did, because there was a flow of anointing on him. He didn't do miraculous works, folks, because he was a good person. He didn't do miraculous works before because he was the Son of God. You might have thought, well, of course, Jesus was the Son of God. Of course he could do it. That had nothing to do with his doing miraculous works. Being the Son of God, which meant he was the only begotten of the Father, which means that his nature and God's nature were the same, which means that he was born without sin, that has everything to do with a sacrifice on our behalf to make us right with God. But it has nothing to do with the dynamic flow of power and life, the normal Christian experience, that had nothing to do with that. You say, can you prove that? Absolutely. For the first 30 years of his life, Jesus was as much the Son of God as he was for the last 3.5. But he didn't do any miracles. None. Zero. Why not? Well, they all started in Luke chapter 3, when he was baptized in the river, and he came up and the Holy Spirit came on him. And then it says, and then he began his ministry. And in the very next chapter, at the beginning, his first message that he preached, the first one, He said, the Spirit of the Lord's on me because he's anointed me to do these things. How did you do them, Jesus? Because I was anointed to do them. Anointing is a flow of life. It's an oil. And faith, believing and trusting God, attracts that oil. It attracts the anointing. It attracts the favor of God. Christian life, as described in the Bible and modeled by Jesus, is first and foremost an experience of his life that we receive and enjoy by believing and trusting in him. All these books were written so that you just believe in him. And believe doesn't mean, and I addressed it, didn't I, in here, it doesn't mean to believe that God exists. The devil believes that God exists. That ain't going to make any difference. And it's also not mental, what we might call mental acquiescence, mental agreement. Well, I believe historically that Jesus did die for my sins. That actually doesn't really change anything unless the belief becomes heart belief. And you know the difference between head belief and heart belief because heart belief, you experience something. You feel something. I would venture to suggest that there's a good number of people in the churches of our land that are in our churches and may not even really have been born again. But they think that because they go to church on Sunday, or they know the words to the hymns, or they can repeat the prayers or the confessions, or they haven't killed anyone, haven't murdered anyone, that they're going to be all right. And I'm not really even talking about the whole heaven and hell issue. I'm talking about how much God loves people. And if you love your child, you know, you put your arms around them and you hug them and you look them in the eye and you say, you're the best thing ever made. Unless you've got two, then you've got to say it to both of them, yeah? You're just one. And if that child doesn't feel loved, then that you need to do something to get that child to feel loved. You've got to find a way. And love that is not felt at all, well, what is that? For many people, see, that even the concept of it's a relationship with God is just theory. They've just agreed mentally. If you answered a test and said, yes, it's a relationship with God. No, you walk with God. And you know one of the most powerful things, you'll know it. It says, may the love of God, the love of Jesus and the fellowship. See, I don't even know it very well, do I? What is it? Come on. A fellowship, yeah, that part I know. But may the something of God, grace of God. Yes? Is it the love of God? There you go. It's one of those three. It's right at the end. It's right at the end of 2 Corinthians, I think, chapter 13, verse 13, I think, for those keen ones that want to look it up. But in that thing, when it's talking, it's like the benediction that sometimes, or the grace that people sometimes say. So it will be the grace of God. Yep. And but the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, that word fellowship is koinonia. And it means two things. It means intimacy and partnership. And that's what God wants you to have with him, intimacy and partnership. Like he would like me to have with my wife, intimacy and partnership. We're close. We hold hands. And if I see something that I think she would like, some sunset, some tree, probably vegetables, she'll like them. And I'll squeeze her hand. And that's not super intimacy, it's just a little bit of intimacy. But that's what you're supposed to have with God. I want to suggest to you, if you're not feeling anything in your walk with God, if there's no peace or little peace and little joy, then it could be that you're either not born again at all or that you have disconnected effectively with the life flow of God. Because that's what defines Christianity. Let me give you one more example just on that other point. Remember I told you that what Jesus did was only because the Holy Spirit was upon him. Remember that? Yeah. And then he said in John, you'll remember this, in John 14 verse 12, he said, now I've got to go. But he said, the same things that I do, you're going to do. Do you remember that? Yeah. And do you remember the last bit? He said, and even greater. The same things. Just look at the person next to you and say, we're going to do the same things Jesus did. That was his promise. Now, you can believe that he was lying about it if you want to. But I don't believe that. I believe he was telling the truth. And that means that all of us are able, are called, are designed and destined to do the same things Jesus did. Which is not just casting out devils and healing sick people, but it's also teaching and it's also speaking on behalf of God. And it's a whole lot of things. But his ministry, the three biggest things in his ministry were teaching, healing the sick and casting out devils. They're the most common things that he did. But he raised dead people. And I know of, I have never met because he died before I was born, Smith Wigglesworth. You might have heard of Smith Wigglesworth, who all the records will tell you, all the good, honest Christian, different Anglican records, people that have met him, known him, written the records, at least 23 people raised from the dead he did. And you know, and it's interesting, isn't it? When I read that, I think, well, that's 23 more than I've got. And I've tried a couple of times, been in a hospital. Have you? Well, I figured God meant now. I tried as a younger man. I went into a hospital to a family relative and they died of a heart attack and I was in there full of faith. Well, I'm doing the best I could. Commanding life to come back in. Red Smith Wigglesworth's thing. He did it. I thought, that's right, that's good, let's do it. Well, it didn't work. So what am I going to do now? Roll over and die? Quit? Decide that God didn't really mean what he said? No, all I've got to discover is, well, there's obviously some things in my connection with God that I've yet to grow in and yet to learn, but God still will do everything that he said he will do. Are you with me? And so here I am, and that was, I don't know, 30 years ago. Yeah, about 30 years ago. And that's not the only time. There are other stories. But here's the thing. I read somebody like that who's done those things, and I've got all his books, and I read a lot of all those kinds of things because I want to find the people who are doing it and find out what they believed. And you know what Smith Wigglesworth's core message was his whole life? Faith. He's called the Apostle of Faith. Now, that doesn't mean we're all supposed to imitate Smith Wigglesworth. He was just one good example that can help us. But the point is, that what Jesus said, my actual point was, Jesus said, the same things I do, you're going to do. Now, if he did what he did because he was the only begotten Son of God, he was the only one of those, then he could never make a statement like that. Could he? He couldn't, could he? Think about it. How could he say, you guys are going to do the same things that I do and more, when the way he did them was to be the only begotten Son of God, which no one else is? That's ridiculous. I mean, primary school people understand that. Amen? Yeah. That's because he did it because of the power of the Holy Spirit that was on him. And he actually says in another place in John, the same book, he says, now I've got to go. I've got to leave. And all the disciples, everyone go, I've got to go, because they love being with Jesus. And then he says, now don't be sad, because if I don't go, can't send the Holy Spirit. And so actually it's to your benefit is what he says. It's better that I go, because they're going to lose him, but they're going to gain the one that Jesus knew from the beginning of his ministry was the one that would empower him to do what he was called to do. And so they were never going to be able to do everything that they were called to do until Jesus left and the Holy Spirit sent. And there we have it in Acts chapter 2. We know that Jesus got to heaven because the Holy Spirit was sent right on time. And the Holy Spirit's still here and he's still alive and he will respond. But see, he doesn't respond to need. Maybe you've never discovered that. I need this. I need that. And then we think, well, God will come on the scene because I need this. But need doesn't move God. You say, well, God's very cruel. No, God's not very cruel. God just has certain ways. God's much better than you are. Who would we be to call God cruel? My goodness. We're in a very sad piece of shape if that's what we think. God is better than the best. Amen. But God has certain ways that he does things. Amen. There are things that work and there are things that don't work. God, if you want God to come into your life, that's why we're talking about faith, he responds to faith and he responds to hunger. That's one of the reasons I stand here, and I know I can be a bit agitating, but I want to help you. I want your life to change. I want your sicknesses to leave. I want your boredom and your depression to be a thing of the past. I want you to be the happiest people in the world. I want you to have miracles and breakthroughs all over the place. I want situations that looked like they couldn't be fixed to be fixed. That's why we get Bill out here this morning. What a great testimony. What an awesome thing in just 8 weeks. Isn't that awesome? And I've said to you, God will keep doing it and keep building it. And God will change you into another person by the power of his spirit, but not if you don't hunger. Not if you're, so that's why I say when we worship, I know, sometimes I'll say, sing it again. And you might hear me say, come on, Luke, tell them, stir them up, come on. Because if you don't engage, then nothing much will happen. And what will happen eventually, sooner or later, nice people though they are here, nice pastors though you have, Carrie and I, very nice people. Great coffee though we do our best to do, all those things. At the end of the day, you won't get much from God if you won't hunger and you won't believe. And then what will happen is you'll say, oh, I don't like that, either that church or that minister or God. I tried that. You didn't try God. God is God. If something's not clicking between you and God, find out what it is on your end, because there's no problem with him. Are you with me? But don't take it as a slap. Don't take it as an insult. I do it all the time. I've been doing it for 30 years, ever since I tried to raise a man from the dead who'd had a heart attack in Royal North Shore Hospital in Sydney. And I do it every day. I say, God, well, obviously, there's still some things I have to learn. Lord, would you teach me? Would you help me? I mean, that's just, you know, and I stir up my hunger. Sometimes I'm not as hungry as I want to be. So come on, Paul, get with the program here. You're getting old, you know. You've only got 1,270 Sundays left in your whole life till you're 80. Get with the program. Yeah, did you ever talk to yourself like that? Yeah, I do. So come on. Jesus gave everything for you. What are you doing sitting down? Come on, son. Encourage myself. Get with the program. Get on fire. Get going. Believe God. Trust God. So the book was written so that you believe. See, that's the first thing. Now we went through all these kinds of fabulous notes. And they were exciting. Here's one final verse. And then I'm going to touch on that real quick. And then I'm going to finish on a few practical points. Would that be all right? So here's the other verse. Oh, did we get it up there? Number four? Ooh, maybe I pressed the wrong button. Ooh. Oh, Gab's there. Yeah. There we go. There you go. Wait. There it is. It is there. Proverbs 4:23. You might have read this as one of my favorites. Watch this. Listen carefully. Listen carefully. Very, very important. Nicer people than you, if there are any. Smarter people than you. Are in today very bad states because they never listen to this. We sit here and we think, oh yeah, this is great, you know, everything's good. Watch your heart. Guard your heart. Above all else, because the issues are the forces of life. I've seen people. I know a guy who was a minister who I used to live with as a young man for a little while. And after would be 25 or so years of marriage, and we were good mates, we used to preach together and all that kind of stuff. After 25 years of marriage, he's just walked out. But he's leading a church of 1,000 people, and he's well known and well respected, and he's got connections everywhere and all that kind of stuff. Am I having a go? Not at all. Not at all. Don't misread my heart. What I'm saying is that if we don't guard our hearts, because all the issues and forces of life come out of there. We can end up 6 months, 12 months, 2 years, 5 years down the line in a place that we never thought we'd get to. Amen. Guard your heart. Protect it, your heart. What can happen? Your heart can get bitter. Your heart can get jealous. Your heart can be full of unbelief. And that's the one we're talking about. Unbelief is not a matter of intellectual ascension. When we're struggling with unbelief, which is anti-faith, it's the opposite of faith. When we struggle with that, it's a heart attitude. Jesus actually calls it, the Greek word for what Jesus uses, it's just will not believe. It's a refusal to believe. You can believe if you want to, but you have to take certain steps to get your faith strong. Let's touch on these things here together before we close. It's necessary, I'm just hitting these highlights. It's necessary to have faith to please God. You can't please God without faith. So if there's anybody who's a Christian, really the first thing in your life would be, I'd like to please God. I'd like to make him happy. And you can't do it without faith. You could do a lot of wonderful works and care for the poor and be Mother Teresa, but if you're doing it without faith, it's not pleasing to God. Romans writes, another letter I didn't make reference to, it says, whatever is not of faith is sin. Sin means it just misses the mark. Faith is, that's why faith, hope and love, you know those three? They're the big three. And they all go together and they're all very, very important. And it's one of our values. Faith is inner knowing. It's extremely positive. It's not hope. Hope is expecting everything to go well. Sick, yeah, but I think they'll get healed. Lost a job, yeah, but I expect I'll get another job. Not enough money, yeah, but I expect that God will provide. That's hope. That's not faith. A lot of people think that's what faith is. That's the platform for faith. And you've got to go via the platform. It's the blueprint for faith, but it's not the building. So the blueprint is good, but you've got to build the building. And the building is substance. It's solid. It knows that it knows that it knows. I'm convinced, personally, because Jesus said this, you only need a mustard seed of faith. And you can say to a mountain, move and be cast in the sea. That tells me that most of us in the Christian church don't even have a mustard seed. That's not to be critical. That's to be able to look at our lives and say, this is an area I could step up. And I think partly that's why God has put it in our heart, carrying my heart and our church. Faith is a spirit. It's a spirit. It's not just a set of principles, it's a certain feel. You just know when you're in a place with faith. And you'll find if I agitate you, which I will do sometimes from the front, I'm generally trying to get you to a place of faith. And I can read it, because that's what I'm supposed to do. And I can read if there's unbelief. I can read if there's resistance. I can read if there's indifference towards God. And there and people are beautiful, but this, you know, Christianity doesn't work if we're not hungry and believing and positive and expecting and coming in with that attitude. And we need to keep our hearts in that place. Are you with me? Yeah. Otherwise, you'll, like I said, you'll come here and God won't do what he wants to do. Faith is not hope. Faith is not having heard it. If I were you, and this is, I've got so many books on faith. I've read so many things. I had to work really hard to minimize to keep everything in here. In just that short thing. But here's one of the biggest oppositions to faith. Mental acquiescence, or the idea that I've read it. Oh, I've read that. I've read that verse, like God's with me, he won't leave me or forsake me. Yeah, I've read that, I know that. But the way God wants you to know it is that your heart is absolutely secure in that fact. If you knew that God was with you and he never left you and he'd never forsake you, then you'd never worry, you'd never have any anxiety, and you never have any fear of anything. But most of us struggle with anxieties, fears, or things from time to time. And all that means is that that aspect of faith isn't strong in us yet. We may have some, but we need to grow it stronger. You can live a worry-free, confident, happy, bold, strong, colourful Christian life. And it has not got to do first with being a good person. It has first to do with believing and receiving. God's great pleasure is to give to you. His design of Christianity, and after all, it's his idea. It's got his name on it, Christ, you know. It was his idea is, I want to bless you beyond what you deserve. Would you let me do it? And sometimes what we want is we want the ideology. We like the kindness, we want the cross and all that stuff, and we want the Easter story. But actually, we'll just plod along and be nice people and not kill anyone and, you know, take out the neighbor's garbage and mind their cat if they're ill. And we think that's Christian. That's very secondary. It's good to be kind, but it's secondary. Are you with what I'm saying? Because it doesn't receive anything from God. And so we end up, and this is where a lot of Christians are at. They feel like, oh, I wish I could do more. I've run out of time. I've run out of energy. I don't, because we're doing it often in our own strength, because our faith in his ability isn't drawing down this anointing that I talked about that enables us to do things that we could never ordinarily do. Cool. Let me finish here on a practical couple of practical points. We're just about done. Lucille, you've got a Bible. If we grab that green mic and turn that on, could you turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, just you, and read it out for me? 2 Corinthians. Actually, no. If you go to Malachi, could you do that? Sorry, Lou. If you go to Malachi, the Italian prophet. Chapter 3 and verse about, I'm just going to make sure you get the right. So verse about 10, I think it is. Yep, 10, 11, 12. If you go there, is that all right? And I'm getting you to read to the people. Have you got a Bible there, Ian?
Yeah, I do.
2 Timothy 1:7. 1:7. And then, Owen, have you got a Bible there, mate?
Yeah.
You got the electronic one?
Yeah.
Will it get there in time?
Mm-hmm.
It's a little joke, eh? Running Romans 8:37, mate. Romans 8:37. Oh, one mic is fine. You ready to read? He's got us on. Okay, listen to this, folks. We're talking about faith, the spirit of faith. Here we're going to read just a couple of passages from the Bible. Malachi 3. All right, nice and loud.
Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be enough room to receive it.
Good. That'll do. Good. So there's a nice practical area called our finances. Anyone got financial lives that they deal with?
Yes.
So here Malachi is God speaking and he says, if you'll bring the tithes and offerings into the storehouse and test me and see if I won't open the windows of heaven and pour out so much blessing. Now, a lot of people, when they hear that, will think straight away, because of the way their own mind is oriented, they will think, oh, I've got to do this. The church wants me to do this. But what they haven't focused on is, A, this comes from God, and B, listen to what he's promising.
Amen.
He'll open the windows of heaven and pour out so much blessing, there won't be room enough to receive it. And some people say, well, that hasn't happened to me. Well, have you believed it? Or have you just gone through a ritual of tithing without actually thinking, I'm doing this because God promised something. And I'm going to build my faith in the area of receiving what God promised. Can you see what I'm saying? Really, really important. Really important to understand. And the end of the day, our question is, are we going to believe that God wrote the Bible or not? See, there's a spirit around in our contemporary culture right now that would love to question that. And I'm very conscious of it, and I don't like it at all. Because it's like, you know, well, you know, did God really mean that? Well, you know, God speaks pretty good English. You know, God means what he says and says what he means. The Bible says something like, if you're not like a child, when you come into the kingdom, you can't even enter. There are some things that theologians can help us with, but most of it is pretty straightforward. Read the Bible and believe what God said. If you don't take that route, which some people choose not to, then how are you going to know what God said and what God did? Well, it's the Bible contains the Word of God, really? So which ones are and which ones aren't then? Well, Jesus said, oh, there's only one way to God. He says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And you can only come to the Father except through me. There's no way to the Father except through me. And someone says, well, I'm not sure that I believe that. Well, where are we going to finish here? We can pick and choose. Or are we going to say the Bible is the Word of God? He meant what he said. He said what he meant. He can do what he promised. And if we're short on receiving some of the promise, let's build our faith in that area. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
That's the spirit that we want to have. Okay, there's another thing you're going to read here. 2 Timothy 1:7.
Yeah. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline.
There you go. God never gave us a spirit of timidity. One version says, or other versions say, fear. But he did give you a spirit of power.
Yeah.
Everyone say, I got a spirit of power.
I've got a spirit of power.
When I received Jesus, I received. So you might say, well, in my head, I don't feel powerful. Yeah, well, your head and your feelings are not the way to decide what God has and hasn't done for you. Unless you want to believe your feelings in spite of what God said. And lots of Christians do that. Well, I don't feel very good today. Well, I am good today. It's just changing your perspective. Well, I don't feel very, I don't feel like I've got a lot of power. Well, God says you're full of power. And you've got love. Well, I certainly don't feel very loving towards that person. Don't look at them now. Whatever you do. I don't feel very loving towards that person. We all have those feelings. That's normal. But Christianity is not trying to be a good person and trying to love people that we don't love. Christianity is saying God has poured love into me by his Spirit. There's a divine exchange and the life and the nature of God now lives in me. I'm like God. I was made in his image. I carry this Spirit of love and I can operate out of that Spirit of love. But it'll only happen when you believe it. I've got that. And lots of Christians don't really believe it. And that's why they struggle. That's why the spirit of faith is such a wonderful... That's why God felt it was so important that he put it in the Bible. And then there's one more, Owen, and then we're done.
But in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us.
That's it. In all these things, he's talking about the trials and circumstances of this. In all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through our great ability. Through him who loved us. So you face challenges. Anyone face those? But you overwhelmingly conquer. No matter what comes against you, you win. No matter how hard it takes and how many knocks you take, victory is yours. You overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. You don't have to put on a special face. You don't have to be somebody you're not. You don't have to imitate somebody else. You have to know that the one who loves you lives inside of you. And because he's in you, you will overwhelmingly conquer any situation you face. As long as you believe it. And that's the key. These things were written that you would believe. Let's close our eyes. Might have a tiny little bit of synth. And we're done for today. You can keep those notes. I hope they help you. Thank you, Lord. Let's just close our eyes real quick. If there are people here you don't know Jesus, we talked about it a little bit before, you feel like, man, this life connection, this kind of, there is just something different about the Christianity you're talking about, Paul, to what I experience, then I'd like to pray with you at the close of the service and connect you with God. It's very, very simple to do. If that's you, You don't need to put your hand up. Just come and see me afterwards. I'm not going to chase you down. This is the most wonderful opportunity in the whole world to connect your life with God. But so don't forget that. But what I want to focus on here in these last 30 seconds is for you to look at your own heart and say, God, are the areas where my faith could increase? And to make a commitment in your heart that you're going to trust God. That you're going to grasp a spirit of faith. If you'll hang around it, if you'll associate with it, if you'll keep hearing. Now, the things I'm talking about are, what people would call positive. But it's just because it's in the Bible. God is a God of hope. Hope is very positive. Negativity, fear, failure have no place in the kingdom of God. If you go to heaven, there won't be any of those things. No fear, no failure, but great persistence. No negativity, no unbelief. And it's much better. If you get to heaven and your life is swamped by those things, you'll just spend a whole lot of time being trained by angels or maybe by me or Lucille or somebody, or Owen even. On how to get rid of all those things because they don't have a part in the kingdom of God. If you're a Christian, you have no need or right to hold on to fears, failures, negativities, lacks. That's not the Christian life. So if there are some things you need to let go of in your heart, for there are things you need to repent of, which is to change your mind and to say, you know, God, I've allowed myself to not believe you. And the first thing you need to do is connect with him and say and just speak with him. And I'm going to give you 30 seconds now just to do that, just to process that in your own heart. Right now, we thank you, Lord, for your presence. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are good, that we overwhelmingly conquer. In Jesus' name. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. And I pray that spirit of faith, a light on every person here, every hungry person, every open person, every willing person. Let the spirit of faith increase in great ways. In Jesus' name. Praise God. Amen. You believe it? You happy? Say it with me three times. We overwhelmingly conquer. I overwhelmingly conquer. We overwhelmingly conquer. Through him who loved us. Come on, give God some great praise and thanks for that. Can we do that? Thank you, Lord. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for being here. It's great to see you. Lots of exciting things, opportunities to serve. Connect is here, isn't it? We're doing prayer this week on Tuesday. Fantastic. Great food, great fellowship, great coffee. Keep stirring one another up to faith and good works, and God bless you, and we'll see you next week. Okay.